Scripture lesson is 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Beginning at verse 1. There was a man named Elkanah who lived in Ramah in the region of Zub, in the hill country of Ephraim. He was the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zub of Ephraim. Elkanah had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah did not. Each year, Elkanah would travel to Shiloh to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of Heaven's armies at the tabernacle. The priests of the Lord at the time were the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas. And on the days Elkanah presented his sacrifice, he would give portions of meat to Peninnah and each of her children. And though he loved Hannah, he would give her only one choice portion because the Lord had given her no children. So Peninnah would taunt Hannah and make fun of her because of the Lord had kept her from having children. Year after year, it was the same. Peninnah would taunt Hannah, and they went to tabernacle. And each time, Hannah would be reduced to tears and would not even eat. "Why are you crying, Hannah?" Elkanah would ask. "Why aren't you eating? Why be downhearted just because you have no children? You have me. Isn't that better than having 10 sons? Once after the sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up and went up to pray. Eli the priest was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. And she made this vow: "O Lord of Heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime. And as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut." And as she was praying to the Lord, Eli watched her, seeing her lips moving but hearing no sound. He thought she had been drinking. "Must you come here drunk?" he demanded. "Throw away your wine." "Oh, no, sir," she replied. "I haven't been drinking wine or anything stronger, but I am very discouraged, and I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. Don't think I am a wicked woman. Well, I have been praying out of great anguish and sorrow." "In that case," Eli said, "go in peace. May the God of Israel grant the request you have asked of him." "Oh, thank you, sir," she exclaimed. Then she went back and began to eat again, and she was no longer sad. Amen. Amen. Hannah. We'll talk about Hannah. Hannah, a young woman. The prime of her life. Young woman with promise. Young woman with a future ahead of her. A young woman who finally got the man of her dreams. Hannah married to Elkanah. Married into a good family. Everybody showed up at Hannah's wedding. It was a grand time. Hannah's in the prime of her life. She's beautiful. Everybody expected that there would be grandkids. Everybody expected that, you know, those of you who are married, after about a year, folks start asking you, when you going to have kids? And, you know, the first year, you just kind of write it off. You said we're working on it. But the second and the third and the fourth and the fifth and the sixth year, they ask you when you're going to have kids. Look at somebody and say, it starts to get on my nerves. But that was the case for Hannah. Hannah, this young, precious, beautiful woman, married. And in that day, they didn't just want to have kids, they wanted to have a son. And if you did not have any children, if you did not have a son, it was looked upon as a curse. There was something wrong with you, that God had cursed you in some way because you did not have a son. And Hannah, after a few years, she did not have a son. And Hannah started to feel discouraged and started to feel depressed. And, you know, they would go to the family reunion and Elkanah's brothers would be there with their wives, and they'd be bragging about their sons. They'd be bragging about how many sons they had and how many kids they had. And finally, it got on Hannah's nerve, and Hannah began to be depressed, and Hannah began to be distraught in her spirit. And she sort of gave up on having a son. And you know the biblical account, you know, with Abraham and Sarah, and Sarah was barren. And whenever, sometimes when the women could not have sons, they would take matters into their own hand and go get a concubine and let them have a son. Hannah was the first wife and Peninnah was the second. And that's the way, you know, God has a sense of humor. The first one can't have children. And the second one, every time Elkanah looked at her, she got pregnant. Even when he wasn't trying to. Now, this ain't biblical. This is me. Peninnah got pregnant. And then Peninnah began to rub it in. Peninnah began to taunt her. He may love you more, but I got sons by. She might be prettier than I am, but I can have babies. Something wrong with you, girl. And Hannah and Elkanah, they were a worshiping community. And, you know, back in those days, they only had one tabernacle, one temple. And so it was Shiloh. And those who lived far away from Shiloh, they only went to Shiloh on special occasions. Twice a year, they would go to Shiloh to worship. And every time they would go to Shiloh, they would take a special offering. And they didn't give offerings like we do it in money. They would give, they would make sacrifices. They would have meat, and they would give a special sacrificial offering. When they went to Shiloh, they would give a thanksgiving offering. And there they would be sitting there giving their offering. And Hannah, she would be there with her hat on that special day. That's not in the Bible. That's me. And they would be worshiping. And they would give a special offering. And Peninnah would be taunting her even in church. Look at somebody say, jealousy is alive still in church today. Might not have two wives, but I guarantee you, you just let the Lord bless you in a special way. You know, it doesn't take much for folk to be jealous. Just get a new suit. Just get a new dress. Just get a new pair of shoes. Just get your hair colored. Who does she think she is? Know that dress is too tight. Know she ain't got no business with that color hair. That ain't doing
What in the world is she wearing that hat for? She's wearing it because you can't wear it. Jealousy is still alive and well in the church of Jesus Christ. People who ought to be worshiping, all they're doing is looking at your hat. Look at somebody and say, get a life.
Hannah's in church.
Bananas picking at her. And messing with her spirit. And she's trying to give thanks to God. And Hannah is in anguish. And Hannah has been praying and asking God for a son. And you know, it's something, it works on your spirit when you ask God for something that you know God can do and God won't do. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You had that prayer that you just kept on praying and praying. God, give me a son. God, give me a mate. God, give me happiness once again. God, heal my body. God, make a way. And you keep on coming to church Sunday after Sunday and year after year, and God still has not answered. It has a way of messing with your spirit. I know I'm preaching to somebody.
You know, people say, well, you know, God will answer prayer.
Yeah, he will answer prayer, but the answer might be no. We act like we pray with, you know, just ask God and just ask him for a Mercedes. And just go, when I go outside, he's going to be in the parking lot. No, he's going to tell you to get a job. And maybe you better start with good bus fare first. Hannah went to church and she would go to the Shiloh church or Shiloh temple and pray because she felt cursed. Penina would mess with her spirit and Hannah would be sitting there in her nice outfit crying in anguish because she did not have a son. And her soul would be in a bitter place, in a low place. And her husband, Elkanah, look at somebody and say, Elkanah missed it. He goes in there and says, what you crying for? Ain't I better than 10 sons? And any husband in here ever miss your wife's pain? Don't even lie about it. I know you have. I'm sitting there like, I have to raise my head. Because Hannah is there crying because she wants a son and because Penina is getting on her last nerve and Elkanah missed her pain. He goes in there trying to solve the problem rather than understand the pain.
Oh, Jackson, you preaching boy.
No, they don't have to say nothing because I know, because I've been there myself. Bible's trying to tell me something and I'm going to solve it rather than trying to understand it.
So Elkanah goes there and talking about, ain't I better than 10 sons? Don't I treat you like my queen? When we go to church, don't I dress you well? When we go to Shiloh, don't I give you a double portion more than I give to Penina? And Hannah says, yeah, but that ain't the issue. The issue is this woman gets on my last nerve. The issue is I want a son. Because the issue is I feel like that I've been cursed. And I want a son. And this is not in the text. This is Jackson speaking right now. Not only do I want a son, I want a son that will outshine her son. Give me a smart son. That's not in the text. Give me a handsome son. Give me a son that's going to be somebody. I mean, that's the humanity that's coming out. That's not there, but can you relate to what I'm talking about? If you've been praying this prayer and this woman's been getting on your last nerve for the last 20 years and you finally, you pray, and you have to pray a specific prayer. God, I just don't want a child. I want a child. And if you give me a child, if you give me a son, I'll give him back to you. Very often we pray a prayer for our kids. Lord, make him famous. Lord, make him a giant. Lord, make him smart. Lord, let him graduate from college. Lord, keep him out of jail. Lord, keep him out of trouble. But what about every now and then praying a prayer? Lord, if you give me a child, I'll give him back to you. I'll let you do with them what you would have them to do. I'll let you work on them, Lord. So Hannah prays this prayer. And God gives Hannah a son. But before God gives Hannah a son, she goes, after they go first to give the offering, everybody else is sort of going outside, going wherever, and Hannah goes back into the temple. And she goes, how many of you know every now and then you got to go to God by yourself? It's one thing to worship God with everybody around, but every now and then you got to steal away. You got to have some private time with God. And everybody is out in the yard or doing whatever. And Hannah goes back into the temple and she prays to God out of the depths of her spirit. And she knew exactly what she wanted. You know, you got to know what you want when you go to God. Ain't no sense in going to God with this big old global prayer. You need to be specific. Lord, I need you right now. And know specifically what you want. When she went to God, she went there and she went in prayer. And she did not go complaining. You know, too many times when we go to God, especially when he hasn't answered us as quick as we want to, we go in complaining, you know, my biological clock is running out, Jesus. As if God doesn't know your clock. He put the tick and the tock in your clock. He knows all about your clock. Don't go there complaining. Go there trusting. Lord, I don't understand what you're doing, but in your own godlike time, make a way in my life. Hannah goes there. She prays. You know, she's not the only woman who's ever been to the altar for their sons. Do I have a witness in the house? She's not the only woman who's been to the altar. People come into church all the time. You don't know what's going on in somebody's mind, somebody's heart. They can have on a nice dress and still be messed up in their spirit. They can have a nice hairdo and still be messed up in their spirit. They can have on nice makeup and still fall out in the church. Do I have a witness in here? And Hannah went to church and Hannah called on God. And when Hannah called on God, there was another man that missed it. Reverend Dr. Eli. Eli, the chief priest of Shiloh Temple. Hannah comes in, troubling her spirit and pouring out her soul to God. And Eli says, what you come in here drunk for? I can understand that too. There have been times when I've missed it. One of the things that I like about women in ministry is they tend to have more of a sense of spiritual discernment. Can I get an amen from some women? Now, sometimes they mess up too. I said they tend to. But it's a terrible thing when you are the priest of the house. And you make a bad mistake. Somebody's poured out their soul. And I did a little research. And it said that maybe the reason that Eli missed it. Because Eli had two boys. Who were the assistant priests. Phineas and Hophni. And both of those jokers was bad news. They were stealing from the trustees. They were having sex with everybody who had sex with them, probably men and women. And listen, Hannah had to be a woman of God. I wouldn't want to leave my son with those jokers. Hannah says, if you give me a son, I'll leave him at the temple. And Eli probably knew his boys and probably thought that this was one of the women, the working women, if I can put it that way, that decided to come to church that Sunday. And they're going to sit up front. And they've been drinking and partying all night. And Eli, this is the research now. This is not in the Bible. But Eli probably thought that this woman was drunk and just waiting around to get with Hophni and Phinehas. And Hannah said, wait, you got me wrong. I have not had any wine. I'm not one of those street women. My soul is in pain. I'm anguishing here today. I'm talking to God today. You have made a big mistake. Don't you put me in the category of those women. I'm here calling on Jesus. I'm here calling on God. I need some help in here right now. I'm calling because I've been praying. I've been crying. I've been waiting on God. I need God in my life. I've been dealing with Peninnah. And Hannah, text says, the translation that Hannah says that she was, her soul was in bitterness. The translation, she felt like she was worthless because she could not have a son. She felt worthless. She's not the only woman who ever been to church that felt worthless. But I want you to know you are not worthless. God has got a treasure inside of you. I don't know what the treasure is, but you're not worth it. And I'm so glad that you're here this morning calling out. Ain't nothing wrong with crying sometime. Ain't nothing wrong with interceding sometime. Ain't nothing wrong with waiting on the Lord. Ain't, don't you let anybody rob you of your occasion to talk to God. I don't care if it's Reverend Dr. Eli. If he got it wrong, he got it wrong. Eli ought to apologize and say, I'm sorry. But finally, after she, I like the fact that, you know, because sometimes women and men, after the preacher gets it wrong, they'll suck it up and take it and tell everybody else about it. Reverend Dr. Eli, I go to church waiting, trying to get an answer from God. And I go in there and I'm sitting there by myself. And he's come over to me talking about, why are you drunk in here? They tell everybody else. But Hannah, she didn't take it to the street. She took it right to Eli. No, Reverend Doc, you got it wrong, brother. I'm here talking to God. I came specifically with a prayer request. I came with a child on my mind today. She probably would have said, you sound just like my husband, Elkanah. Y'all are always missing my pain. It's one thing for Elkanah to miss my pain at home, but here I am. I come to church, and you, Reverend Dr. E, you miss my pain. I thought if anybody would have understood, you would have understood. Now I got to deal with two jokers. Elkanah. And Reverend Dr. Eli. Eli says, he didn't really publicly apologize, but he did say, whatever you've been praying for, may God grant it to you. He Jesus said, I don't know what you've been praying for, but whatever it is you've been praying for, may God grant it to you. And the text says that Hannah went home rejoicing. Have you ever come to church with a burden on your heart and a burden on your mind and tears in your eyes, and you came in and somehow that day God heard your prayer and God gave you a release and God was able to lift up your head and God was able to put a smile on your face? Ain't nothing changed, but you just know that God heard you. He may not change it, but he heard you, and that made all the difference in the world. I'm glad that God hears. And I'm glad that every now and then, when you come in your anguish, and you can go out smiling. It doesn't happen every Sunday. But you got to be careful. That's why you don't need to stay home. Because God might show up that Sunday. It may be one of those Sundays when I just got a rhema word. It may want to be one of those Sundays when God shows up. It may not show. How many of you know he doesn't always show up in the pulpit? The loudest amen I got. But sometimes he shows up in a smile, and sometimes he shows up in a deacon's prayer, and sometimes he shows up in a song from the choir, and sometimes he shows up just in the atmosphere. Sometimes he shows up, you don't know how he's going to show up, but he shows up, and you are able to lift up your head, and you are able to say, I got a feeling. I got a feeling, Deacon Collins, I got a feeling that everything is going to be all right. The world is trying to knock me out, but I got a feeling. My family don't understand me, but I got a feeling. Elkanah, I don't understand my pain, but I got a feeling. Eli, I don't understand my pain, but I got a feeling. My family don't understand, but I got a feeling everything. So I can go out of here still broke, but I got a feeling. Still got marital problems, but I got a feeling. Still got health problems, but I got a feeling. My kids driving me crazy, but I got a feeling that everything is going to be all right. Hannah went home. I don't know. She probably put on her nicest negligee. She might have went to get her hair done, got her nails done. Elkanah probably said, you know, there's something different about Hannah. And don't you think that old Penina didn't see it? Penina said, wow, my God. And when the Bible wants to say that a couple had sex, the Bible says, what did the Bible say? And Elkanah, you got it. Elkanah knew her. Look at somebody say, in the biblical sense. He knew her. They helping me preach over in the corner over here. Talk about I want to know somebody. I'm so glad he woke up. When you go into Shiloh, when you come in to Mount Olive in your pain, you want somebody just to understand your pain. And you want, if your family don't understand, because sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we want to solve the problem, but sometimes all you want is somebody to understand. And I'm so glad that God understands.
Let me give you one last thing. I'm going to sit down. Hannah prayed, and her prayer was answered positively. But Hannah, it wasn't one of those little instant prayers. Hannah persisted. Look at somebody and say, she persisted. She persevered. She kept on praying. And you get mad because you pray one time. God ain't no bellhop. And sometimes when you pray, the answer may be delayed. And sometimes it may be denied. Look at somebody and say, he's still a good God. See if I can make this plain. Remember when you prayed for that certain man, that certain woman, and you didn't get him or her, and now you're old enough to look back and say, I thank you, God. Look at somebody. I know God's a good God. He's a good God. And I don't want young people to assume, you know, I don't want them to get all confused when we say God answers prayer. He does answer prayer, but the answer is not always affirmative. Because some preachers will look at this and say, oh yeah, just go out there and pray, and you know, finally you're going to get the answer that you want. You don't always get the answer you want. You get the answer that you need. And when Hannah had Samuel, and she took Samuel to the temple and left him with Eli. People don't do that too much. You know, we bring our kids to dedicate them to the Lord. We think that you just bring them to church and let the preacher kiss them and smile at them and pray a prayer over them, and then we go home living like hellions. Thinking that that's going to make all the difference. It's not enough just to bring it. You got to live a holy life before them too. Hannah gave her son to the church, to the temple, to Eli. People don't just drop kids off at the church no more. Thank God. I had a hard enough time with my two. But Hannah brought Samuel to the temple and left him with Eli and Phinehas and Hophni. Eli was a good old man. He was a good priest, but he was a lousy parent. Look at somebody and say, you know, you can be a good professional and still a lousy parent. You can graduate from college, you can have a good job and a lousy parent because you don't have time to be a parent. You're so busy being Reverend Doctor, you're so busy being Professor so-and-so, you're so busy doing something on your job and you ain't got time to take care of your kids. You don't know where your kids are. It's 9:30. Do you know where your kids are? You know that commercial? Some of you say, I know where they are. They're in St. Mattress Baptist. Because they didn't get in to 4 o'clock this morning. I'm looking at Mother's Day. Mother's Day is different today than it was 30 years ago. Mother's Day 30 years ago, a mom would tell, Mrs. DeBose would tell the kids, you coming to church on Mother's Day. Mom, what do you want for Mother's Day? I want you to come to church with me. And kids came from South Carolina and Georgia so they could be there on Mother's Day with their mothers. Look at this place today. We got kids at home in the bed, too lazy to get up. Somebody ought to say, I want you to come to church. I don't want to come. Come to church. Mom, I don't feel. Come to church. Think that you're going to take them out to some diner rather than dining with Jesus. I mean, it's good. I mean, you ought to take them out, but after you go to church, your mother's sitting there with that beautiful hat on and that lovely dress on and all of her youngins around her, and you go out to dinner and somebody says, where you been today, Mrs. So-and-so? I've been to church with my kids. She stuck her
chest out. This is my son who is doing so and so, and this is my daughter. And if she really likes it, this is my daughter-in-law. If she really likes it. And sometimes it takes some years before that daughter-in-law and that mother's relationship get where it ought to be. Do I have a witness in the house? Sometimes, you know what, ain't no girl good enough for my son. You better look again. There's somebody good enough for that rascal. Hannah teaches us how to be a mother. Go to God in prayer for your sons and your daughters and wait on God to answer your prayer. And when God answers your prayer, go out of here a different man and a different woman. Go out of here saying, I've been in the presence of God. I know God's got this thing.